Hello and welcome to the July 2023 edition of Library Chat with the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. I'm Jody Aldini, Access Services Librarian.
I'm Angie Halk, Technical Services Librarian.
And I'm Leland Smith, Service Specialist with the IMC.
And I don't know if we've ever covered what the IMC means, but IMC means, Leland?
Instructional Material Center. So dun, dun, dun. Basically working with textbooks.
Well, today we have a couple special guests with us. We have our teacher externs, and I'm just going to hand it over to them, and they can introduce themselves and tell a little about themselves, and then we'll ask them some questions. So who wants to start?
I can start.
Okay.
My name's Alex Lifker-Russellman. My students call me Miss LR because Lifker-Russellman is just too much sometimes. And so what we've been doing this summer is it's a chance to be out of the classroom and see what's happening in the real world. So when kids say, when are we going to use this when we grow up? We can say, hey, here's when you're going to use this when you grow up. Mm-hmm. And I am a math teacher out of Adele DeSoto Minburn High School.
My name is Chandra Kearns, and I am a middle school math teacher. I just spent 18 years in the classroom, and this fall I'll be a professor at Simpson College.
Ooh, fun. You might see my grandson there, because he's supposed to be starting there at some point, but I don't know.
That's exciting.
We'll see.
Very exciting.
Yes. So we're just gonna throw some questions at you, if you don't mind.
For sure.
Not at all. Well, one I'd like to know is, what is the teacher extern? How does that get started and how you get chosen? Or do you choose to come here? Do we choose you? How does that work?
Yeah, like what's the process for each of you?
Well, a lot of it is word of mouth, like people who have, well, Chandra and I have different experiences because she has already done this in the past, so I guess you could say your part first.
Well, I did an externship 10 years ago, actually, and that time I was at the Blank Park Zoo. But it's through, I believe it's still through the Governor's STEM Council.
Okay.
And so you fill out an application, and then there's just like a bunch, there's externs all over Iowa, mm-hmm. And there's partnerships with businesses and corporations all throughout Iowa. Des Moines specifically has quite a few different locations. So in the application process, you can go through and put your top choices. I thought it sounded really interesting to be here, so this was my top choice.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, I put the Blank Park Zoo again for, like, my second choice. I don't remember my third, but, you go through and put choices, varied and dependent upon your location, and then they let you know if you were chosen to participate, which I believe everybody was.
And we're special.
Yeah.
We're the special few.
We were very much chosen. And then they, like, let you know what location they assigned you to.
And I believe that on the business side, there's a level of input of, like, who they think would be a good match. Like, I have absolutely no background in science. So, like, Kemin, which is one of the locations in Wayne, would not choose me because they're going to hand me some chemicals and I'm going to blow up the building by accident. So I'm assuming that with the Library for the Blind, they were like, oh, these are teachers with experiences with different ages and, like, I assume technology skills. And so that's why they thought we would be a good match. And there's less opportunities to accidentally blow up this building.
Let me tell you, actually.
I don't know.
It's made it 100-plus years.
Yeah.
It's doing pretty good so far. It'll probably last another 100-plus years.
I mean, it also was designated the bomb shelter back in the day. And there was a little stash of food and supplies that we discovered in the stacks.
Really?
Yes.
Up in the ceiling.
I can't, it's like a weird crawl like, space.
There's a bunch of crackers and
little like cans.
Yeah, they're still up
Where is this?
Oh. I can't remember where they
said. I'll have to show you.
Okay, we're going to have to take a pause and go on a field trip.
It's not floor 1.5 because we got to visit floor 1.5 today.
No. I'm pretty sure it was the third floor or second floor off the pad elevator.
Okay.
There's like a weird nook up in the ceiling that goes off into like a small little room.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bizarre and very mystical.
I've never seen it, but I've heard about it.
This building is full of mysteries.
Yeah.
Ghosts?
And ghosts.
Maybe ghosts.
Well, you know, they, what was it, in October, they had a live,
what, paranormal investigator?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they did. Ghost hunt.
Did they get
the
any,
ghost hunt.
Did they find...
Oh, they had a little...
any paranormal activity?
What are they? They had one of those little machine thingies. I mean, they got some things on it, but I don't know. Was it? I don't know.
Also, Dave Barry was tagging along and describing all of the fun history and...
Dave Coulson.
Coulson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With all the spooky, scary things on the building. So.
Some people have, you know, had some weird
experiences.
I have not. The only thing I've noticed, if I was in the downstairs in the gym, before they locked the elevator, it would it still does. It opens by itself. And I'd just say, well, hey, Fred, how you doing? You know, there wouldn't be anybody in there. But that's the only thing.
I've seen the elevator move itself as well to different floors and it just randomly open a couple times.
Yeah, who knows?
So... Anywho's back.
Okay. Anyway, back to the yes.
So, what have been some of the tasks that you've done around the building for the library this summer? Just trying to give the people a background of what you've been working on this summer here at IDB.
Our main focus is that there's a wonderful collection of STEM kits that the library purchased at some point. And has been using on and off with, like, the teen camps and other children stuff. And so we got to go through those and try and come up with some ideas for how they could be used in different ways or add accessibility to them, whether it's adding Braille or just changing the instructions. So that was the most teachery kind of stuff we did. But we've got to do lots of just learning how the library works, which Chandra can tell you all about.
I can.
She can.
I think she just threw you under the bus.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like we've done just kind of like a lot of, like shelving books, helping get things mailed out to patrons, making sure that students have all of their materials at the start of the school year.
We learned how to bind, to volumize, like, papers into bindery thingies. That was a really exciting machine.
Yes.
Top 10 of my favorite machines.
Is it the machine?
Coil binder thing?
Yeah. That thing, we do not get along. It hates my guts, and, you know, the feeling's mutual. So anytime I need...
Maybe it's feeling your anxiety towards it.
It could be.
Just have to come at it with a positive.
I'm going
to
have a new assignment for both of you.
Yes?
I want you to go play with that machine and get the smallest spine you can. And then I want you to pull that lever real quick and see what happens.
No, I can figure... Even though I know nothing about science, my basic knowledge of physics tells me what's going to happen.
Right.
The spines will just pop out and... They jump a pretty good height.
Oh, now I'm going to have to go try it.
Yeah. Pause number two. We're going to go have to do an experiment.
Well, I tell you, it's been great having you ladies here. You've been very helpful in every aspect. So
a huge help.
Yes. Yeah. And it's been nice getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, it's
feelings
been fun
mutual.
Getting to know you guys.
It has been. Yeah.
Aside from that one time that Chandra got locked in the elevator.
I did get stuck in an elevator by myself.
Well,
fine.
You know, that, yeah, I've been
it's
there.
It's fine, I'm fine, it's okay.
I've been there.
You just have to say, Fred, I need to get off the elevator, open these doors, and he will.
Well, and don't try and pry the doors open. That doesn't work. No. I've tried that. I've had to climb up and
I was
out.
Just hanging out. I was enjoying the peace and quiet, so.
I've been stuck in both of elevators here. This is not working out, people.
Good thing I'm not claustrophobic, so.
Another really nice thing we got to do was the immersion week with the Braille Center and talking with the people there about what their experiences were as blind students and how their schools served them well or could have served them a lot better.
Yeah.
I think from a teaching standpoint, that was very important to hear.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we even used the saw under sleep shades.
Oh, that you went through the center for a week or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I cut wood. My family was very
impressed.
Impressed that you come back with all fingers?
Correct.
Yeah.
The favorite saying that I learned when I was a student was, if vision kept you safe, there would be a lot less accidents.
I like that.
That really helped me get over my fears in woodshop, because I'm like, you're right. If I'm paying attention, I'm safe.
Right.
I feel like I did better, without my vision, because I was, intending to be precise and safe and
because you
all the things.
You have to pay attention.
Right. Otherwise, you're more aware.
Yes. I was more alert, more aware.
I mean, I did get lost in a linen closet for anything from 30 seconds to, 10 minutes, but that would have happened with my eyes not covered also. There's a lot of walls.
Yeah.
I remember one time I walked off a curb, and I was so confident about it until I, went over. I'm like, well, that was a learning experience. I did it wrong, but I was confident about it.
You did it with gusto, right?
It was probably about 2 months into my training. I was building my confidence with cane travel. I was getting cocky. I was walking along. Tink, there's one rail. Tink, there's a second rail. Grabbed that rail and swung around it to walk up the stairs quick. And I bounced off the wall. I found the second, the third. I completely missed the first. And I laughed because my sleep shades cushioned it.
Yeah.
And it was just hilarious.
Yeah, that'll do it.
No, I was in the center for 10 months, and I've got some stories, but that's for another day.
Could be a whole podcast month.
There you go.
There you go.
So do you guys read a lot? Do you have favorite authors or subjects?
I tend to oscillate between reading a lot. So I'm a binger. I binge TV, I binge movies, I binge books. And so
I binge food.
I also binge food. I am currently digesting lunch. But turns out I don't have the endurance I did as a child where, you just stay up through the night and finish the book. Mm-hmm. And the most recent book that I was given was 900 pages, and you can't binge that.
Oh, wow.
Please tell me the title.
It's called Quicksilver. It's a historical fiction book set during the Reformation about the development of calculus. And also just them wars that happened around Europe and England.
Okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Not my usual read, but I'm intrigued.
Should I warn you that it's part of a trilogy and each book is 900 pages?
Oh, no. I'm taking that right off my list. I don't have time for that.
So it's a thing people know. One of my favorite series is the Wheel of Time series. And each one of those books is a dictionary in and of itself.
Yep.
So I'm not afraid of long series.
I think that you will enjoy the setting of this book. It's not quite fantasy because there's not tangible magic, but because it's set in the 1600s, math is kind of magic. Because what even is science?
People just, you do magical things, and it's like, how'd you do that?
Witch. You're a witch.
You're a witch.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
excuse me. So I absolutely love reading. I don't always have a lot of time to read, for pleasure, but my favorite book in the whole world is by Sydney Sheldon. It's called The Naked Face. But it's kind of like a mystery book, but then has this whole layer of just that everyone has a layer that they show people, right? So the naked face is who you really truly are, and if you show people that or not. The layers to people.
Is that 900 pages?
No, not at all. I'm not into the,
I was also not into the 900 pages, I'd like to say. If you're interested in shorter books, Margaret Atwood's earlier books, she wrote the stuff we know, but early in her writing career, I believe it's called The Inedible Woman, and it's about a character who's very similar to her in maybe the 1950s working in a literary magazine with the goals of being a writer, but everyone's like, oh no, you're just here to find a husband. And that she symbolically just stops being able to eat certain foods as she gets more and more frustrated with the limitations of society on her. I'm making it sound really boring, but it's a very moving book. As I could definitely imagine my grandma going through something similar of just being a very driven woman and just being told oh, you're really cute. you're going to get married and have like 5 kids and it's going to be great. Don't worry about getting ahead in the workforce.
And that was the Inedible Woman? Okay.
I believe. Margaret Atwood. Anything by Margaret Atwood, but like her early stuff is very surprising because it's real, not so much. Yeah. Well, the stuff she writes now is getting real. Anyway.
You're a fan.
Yes.
So I host one of the IDB Libraries book clubs, and we meet next week, and the book we're doing is Little Fires Everywhere, and I haven't read the book in, like, but I watched this series on Hulu long before I even took over the book club. So now I'm like, well, do I want to read the book? It's like, I really don't want to put too much time. Well, I honestly put it off to last minute. I kind of forgot about it this week, but I can usually just binge read the book. But now I was like, ooh, I remember the show on Hulu being very, there was a lot of different characters and a lot of different plot lines that were intertwining. So I might just do like a quick recap on it and maybe
Wikipedia.
I was like, well, technically I've already like watched the book, so we're probably good on this one. But through just that book club, I've read a lot of different books I normally wouldn't read just because I usually gravitate toward like mysteries, but more like sci-fi fantasy type things. Not The Wheel of Time, ain't doing that too long. Don't have time.
Do you like Ray Bradbury? Like OG Fahrenheit 451?
Like Sarah J. Maas is one of my top 10. She's like probably one of my top 2 favorite authors. Her books are phenomenal.
I'm in a book club and we do, it's great because it's a book club with a librarian and a former English teacher. Mm-hmm. So they like are really good at, you know, like discussion piece. But we like started out reading the classics, you know, like we started with like the top 100 books everyone should read. So, you know, like the Fahrenheit or like all the ones like people quote and talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. We've recently gone into the banned books. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I've been, normally I gravitate toward, mystery and true crime. But here lately I've been getting into biographies. So I've read Drew Barrymore's Wildflower and she narrated it. Okay. And would have to listen to it to hear her tell her own story and how she emphasizes some of the things that she's gone through, and she'll scream and she'll, you know, it's just, it's hilarious at the same time. But for someone to go through so much stuff as a young child to come out, as well-rounded and as she is, kind of amazes me. But now I'm listening to Maureen McCormick, and she has some trouble too.
What is she known for?
Who?
Maureen McCormick.
The Brady Bunch. Marsha.
Gotcha. Oh. Well, another fun thing about being here is we've been in the children's collection, and there are some weird, wild books from like the 60s and 70s that are children's books, and you're just reading them like...
What was the one that had we just saw today with like a monster and the kids like feet hanging out of the mouth.
So it's called The Judge, and The Judge got eaten by the monster, and each person who like comes to his court to be tried explains the reason they did their crime was because there was a big scary monster, and he's like, monsters don't exist, go to jail, because it was the 1970s, I don't even know. And then the end is the monster finally shows up. Turns out all the people... Sorry, spoiler alert. The monster shows up. All the people are telling the truth, and he gets eaten alive. And then the book just ends.
And it's illustrated.
Illustrated children's book. Like, explains a lot about maybe what some of our parents or grandparents experienced as children.
The problem with dad.
Oh my goodness, that was a weird one. There's such an exciting variety of books.
Yes.
There's one that the back page, like the back cover, looks just like a butt. And every time you walk by it, you're like, that's a butt. But it's not. It's a teddy bear at all.
It's like a dog or a puppy, but it's...
It looks like a puppy butt. It
looks like a puppy
butt. I don't know if you're allowed to say butt on this podcast, but I've now said it like 5 times. And I'm sorry.
Well, if not, then they'll bleep it.
No. Yeah.
I think we're good.
There's a children's book with a sock in it, and every time you pick it up, it looks like a kid actually left their sock in the book. So then you go, it's like, oh no, it's just a part of the book.
Well, there's also one that's a cat that's motion detected. And a couple of us that didn't know us for the longest time. And this was several years ago, but we'd go back into the room, you know, to get a book, and we'd hear this dang cat. Mm-hmm. And we think there was a cat back there. Finally, we realized that it was this stinking book.
Okay, so do you guys watch YouTube or podcasts, or is there specific, like, channels or, like, that you've listened to, or, like, what do you normally gravitate for, like, YouTube or podcast?
I listen to podcasts a lot. I never used to because I love, like, the physical aspect of, like, holding a book and turning the pages. I didn't even, like, I had a Kindle, but I didn't really like to. I use that as my bookmark a lot of times in my paper book. But recently, like I said, I don't have like a ton of time to like read. So I've been listening to podcasts like in the car. Mm-hmm. And I definitely gravitate towards the true crime podcasts. I've also been listening to different podcasts on like grading practices.
Nerd.
Yeah.
That's true.
My dissertation was on grading practices, so I have been immersed in grading practices for the last couple of years. So, yeah.
There you go.
Those are my podcast choices. What about you, Alex?
Well, before as a teacher, I worked at a warehouse for a couple of years, and so before smartphones, so I had an iPod. Because we had 8 to 10 hours where you're just doing repetitive motion. Mm-hmm. But so I listened to a lot of podcasts. And then I kind of like took a break. But now I'm back to podcasts because I have a commute. And I really like podcasts that are about like the history behind things that like you see every day but don't really think about. And then there's this one that is the sequel to Antiques Roadshow. And so they take items that were on Antiques Roadshow. And then they tell you, like, did the person sell them? Did it end up being a fake?
Oh,
it's
nice.
Called Detours. And
I might like that.
And it's, like, they're, like, 20, 30-minute episodes, so they're pretty fast. Or, like, they'll even give you the behind-the-scenes, like, oh, we knew this was coming on the show, and so here's some of the stuff we did beforehand. And also, if you ever need a TV show to fall asleep to, I highly recommend Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
It's kind of fun. My daughter was watching it one time, and my husband and I came home, and then we walk in, and she's got I have a half moon ram's head table. My mom got it for $5 in pieces from a garage sale, but she's got it upside down looking at it, see if she can find marks. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Some lady's had a table just like this. It was worth thousands of dollars." I said, "Well, I can bet you that's not going to be it."
This is
bye. The history of where you got that table, though, is where people usually end up getting the crazy chairs.
That is true. Yeah.
It's the thing that people have had in their basement and passed down, and they don't know.
They have no
clue what they have, and you get for like $2 at a garage sale.
Yeah.
But then you say, I don't have the money, and they say, just take it anyways.
I think I've heard someone at like a $30,000 piece of jewelry from a garage sale for like $2, you know?
Yeah,
that is true. But this had no markings on it whatsoever, but she was sure looking. So, when you guys do read books, do you ever just start reading and go from the first sentence, or do you ever go back and read the last sentence and see, you know, see what the last sentence is and see where if that's...
Spoiler alert?
Well, that or just like, oh, from that, do I want to read it or not? Or
I'll do that if it's like if it's a trilogy where every book is 900 pages. Mm-hmm. But since I am a binger, now I start with sentence one and I will read like 5 to 10 hours straight until I get to the end. But then I'm like, is it worth reading the second and third book in this trilogy? I'll go to Wikipedia, read a fast summary. But I would never cheat by looking at the last sentence. I would cheat with Wikipedia.
The idea behind that last sentence, though, isn't to, like, get an idea how it ends. Mm-hmm. Just the last snippet, this last sentence in a book, because that tends to say a lot about the book.
Unless it's grading practices, and every sentence just ends with, and then I gave them a B. And then I gave them an F. Sorry.
Yeah.
There is one book I read that the ending, it was a cliffhanger, and I honestly don't think there's a second one. And I was like, oh, if I had read, and I always read, you know, front to back. So this one, I was like, this is the one I would have read. I wish I would have read the last sentence, because I would not have read the book, because I was so mad. Because I was like, and I know authors sometimes are like, oh, let your imagination. No, lady, I need you to tell me what happened to this book. My imagination's already running wild. I need you to stop it and just give me the ending to the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a front to back.
Yeah, me too.
And, like, I feel like I'm one of those people that, like, once I've committed, I have to finish it, even if I hate it. Except the Harry Potter books. I have never read the last one because I didn't want it to end, because I liked it so much.
I know.
Oh, we are opposite people.
I just went through that, and I was so sad when it was
And I knew it was, like, going to end, so I own the last one. I just haven't read it because in my mind, it's still going.
And then at the same time, I got Peacock. I specifically got it because the Harry Potter movies were on there, so I would read and watch the movie, and I'm like, man, these movies, I just picked them apart. I can see where the movie, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've never watched the movies.
Well,
I'm also not a movie, I'm a book person. So, like, I don't.
Well, I have.
I don't watch the movie. I never watch the movie before the book.
Yeah.
And I usually don't watch the movie once I've read the book, because I don't want to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah.
I like to keep it the way I've thought of it in my head.
I remember in middle school, this is spoiler alert, but I was reading a Star Wars book. And I did not realize that they took movies and then would write, like, the book version. And so I knew that Anakin grew up to be Darth Vader because I had read the book. And the movie from the prequels came out, and everyone was just like, guys, there's a crazy ending. I was like, yeah, he's Darth Vader. I read it in the book. How do you guys not know? It's in the book. And, like, none of the other middle school nerds talked to me that week. Rough moment.
I got a sticker on my water bottle that says, don't judge a book by its movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never judge a book by its movie.
Right. Like, that's true. Yeah. So The Martian, I actually went to the movie theater and watched that first and then read the book. And then that was the only one where I'm like, okay, I can see the differences between the movie and the book. Because in the book, like, a lot more things happened to him that could have killed him and should have killed him, but didn't. And it's like, okay, I understand why they didn't put that in the movie, because that would have been...
You got to tighten it up.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I was like, that was the one where even the movie plot line, even though it wasn't the same as the book, it was equally as good, just because... the acting and everything in it. But I also love space movies, so, like, it was totally right up my alley.
What is it, the poop potato?
The poop potato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I greatly enjoyed. Also, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I'll explain it to you later, Chandra.
Okay. Yeah. He survives on on Mars by farming in his own poop.
Oh,
it's manure.
Manure. Mm-hmm. Fertilizer, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fecal fertilizer.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the fancy way.
Yeah. What else? What other questions do we? I can't remember.
For questions for them, I think that's all we had. The next thing I have on our agenda is fun facts about Disability Pride Month.
Oh.
Leland, did you bring those?
I did not bring the fun facts.
I did. I brought some.
I brought my coffee, though, in my nice little pumpkin mug.
Do you know why July is Disability Pride Month?
That was one of the fun facts.
Yes. What important thing was probably passed in the month of July
at
some
point?
The ADA. The
ADA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ADA anniversary.
And what does ADA stand for?
Americans with Disabilities Act.
I feel like I'm in the classroom again, and I want to go sit in the back corner.
Don't look at the teacher.
But here's the thing, too. A lot of people don't realize that July is Disability Pride Month. Most people know about the Disability Awareness Month in November. And that's a thing that a lot of people also try to tie back into the ADA being signed. But they don't realize it actually is July is when that anniversary is, not November. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Or did I just talk circles?
No. And, like, all of that I didn't even know until I started here, just because, like, I worked at a school before here. It was more like, hey, when does this semester start? When is fall break? Or when is Christmas break? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So a major difference between Disability Awareness Month and Disability Pride Month is Pride Month is taking control over your disability, being okay with having a disability and sharing that with, you know, people around you. While Disability Awareness Month is more talking on the barriers and things that people face with disabilities.
Mm.
So just a fun little place to start.
So something I do at my school is for each month we do people in STEM that connect to the month. And so I actually, in November, I realized that now that you've said it that way, mm-hmm. Well, luckily school does not exist in July, but a lot of the people who I highlight in November, I should be framing in a slightly different way. But the resources all come from, here's a mathematician for Disability Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have to improve on that.
Oh, very cool.
There's a guy who does crazy things with shells, though, completely by feel. Couldn't tell you his name. I will Google that while you guys come to yourself.
I'm intrigued.
It says, disability pride is a fairly new and radical idea. As we learned above, the ADA wasn't enacted until 1990.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that it was
that recent.
I felt like that was just...
elementary school. And Jody can probably have the test my memory. The first actual celebration of Disability Pride Month was actually in 2015 in Boston.
Oh. And the ADA, when was it passed? 1990.
It says.
Yeah, the same year. So it would have been.
This was 1991.
It was held again in 1991. So in the same year, the first Disability Pride Parade was held in Boston and then held again in 91, but ended when the lead organizer passed away.
Yeah, and then it went to Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And
13 years later. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, 2,000 people attended.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They didn't expect a big turnout, but they had 2,000 people showed up.
Oh, and now it's taken over in a handful of cities. Have any of you ever been to one of the parades?
No.
I didn't realize there were parades.
It says it's 2015. In 2015, New York City Mayor
de Blasio,
thank you, declared July Disability Pride Month in New York City in celebration of the ADA's 25th anniversary. Though not yet nationally declared, the disability community has adopted New York City's declaration.
And so in a lot of places, you do see celebrations go on in July around Disability Pride Month, even though it's not nationally recognized yet.
Yeah.
But it is up and coming.
I still can't believe it wasn't enacted until 1990.
Yeah.
So, okay, wow. So that, includes, people weren't protected... from being, fired and so, what all does ADA cover? So, besides
so
making
much.
Buildings accessible, yeah?
So, building accessibility is one of the major things that people tie back to the ADA, along with equal rights when it comes to employment and education.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of like the main things people are aware of. But there are so many minor clauses to the ADA,
mm-hmm.
and is expanded upon in countless years.
Uh-huh.
They have amended to it. Even to the point where, like, making workout equipment accessible.
Oh.
Like, that was a amendment that was trying to get pushed through a couple years back, and I believe it did make it through.
And voting machines, so people could go in and place their votes privately, like, you know, sighted people.
So there's a lot of things that the ADA started and then has continued and expand upon to encompass just every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
You stop and think about it, you say, wait, this isn't accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets pushed and it gets becomes a part of the ADA, which is really exciting, really fun. But it's also wild to think the number of things out there that are newer in the world that aren't being made accessible from the start. And that's a whole another concept and idea. But one of my big pet peeves is, have you ever seen those really cool new drink fountains?
Oh, they fill up your water bottles then?
The cool drink fountains at McDonald's, Burger King, you walk in, it's
just one machine
with a touch
screen. And you have to choose all the different flavors.
Yeah.
Really cool idea, but the touch screen, that's not accessible.
Not to blame you.
And the idea that this is where things are going, it makes me kind of sad, because the old machines, there's an accessible way. You take your cup, you try one, you sip it, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
With a touchscreen, there's no way to work around it.
Or do you even know like where to touch?
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because touchscreens are probably one of the biggest contenders when it comes to making things inaccessible for the blind. And a lot of things don't need touchscreens, but people put them in because they're cool.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they make things worse. So, like, when you're driving, if you're driving a car and you have got your dash as a touchscreen, like, back in the day, you know, in the 90s, you could feel the different buttons. You don't have to actually look. And so now you actually have to look at the display while you're driving.
Which is basically like using your phone to text, right?
You're looking away from the road.
Yeah.
Why didn't they keep the buttons?
Yeah.
Yes.
It says the relevance of Disability Pride Month. It has a few facts here. It says, according to the WHO, I don't know who that is.
The World Health Organization.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, covered.
15% of the world's population identify as disabled.
Oh.
Disabled Americans make up at least one-third of all police killings.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
That's a high percentage.
That is.
So I wonder if...
They're doing both physical and mental disability.
Yeah,
yep.
Like, right.
Neurodivergent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Also, that 15% of Americans, 15% when put into a number, you know, 15 of 100 people, like, that's a lot of people.
That is, you know, a lot of people.
And then it says here, disabled individuals are 2 times more likely to be the victim of a violent crime than a non-disabled person in the U.S. and in the U.K. Disabled individuals were almost 2 times as likely to be the victim of sexual assault.
Wow.
You wow. think numbers like in a classroom of 30, if we're talking about 15%, 4.5 of those kids would have some type of disability.
Mm-hmm.
Just how are we making sure to provide education equally so that everybody has access to it?
Exactly.
Because there are loads of different kinds of disabilities. Some are visual, some are invisible. And how you address each one can vary. And so it's very interesting to think about that number in terms of the different possibilities.
Yeah.
And funding. Things aren't cheap.
No.
Like, people are always wondering, like, why does education need more money? Well, as we're working to reach more and more of our students, we can't just keep doing things the same way we always have.
Right.
And that takes money.
Mm-hmm.
On a happier note, I did find the name of the Shells dude, but I definitely will not be able to say it correctly, and I apologize in advance. His name is Gary Vermeij, M-E-I-J. And he's been working with Shells in biology for 35 years. And he's blind since the age of 3.
Wow.
Yep. And he says that his sense of touch allows him to better identify the differences in the shells than a sighted person could, and that's allowed him to find connections that other people have missed.
Nice. Cool. I'm going to have to look that up. That's pretty interesting.
So what does he do with these shelves?
So he, according to this article, he has shelves and shelves and shelves of them, some as big as bowling balls, some as small as, like, specks of sand. Mm-hmm. And he, it sounds like he's using it to, like, create, like, how, like, the different continents, like, are interconnected and how, like, trade, like, has, like, affected things throughout history. I read
now,
it very quickly.
How did he find a shell the size of a grain of sand?
Well, so he has a large collection, and so it sounds like he just goes on a lot of walks along beaches.
I want that job.
In the article he said based on the surrounding, he knew that a hole was very likely to have a certain type of shell, and so he just put his hand in there and he got bit by an eel.
Ooh. I bet that was
so as a heads up before you switch jobs, yeah. Chandra.
Maybe we're wrong.
I can still walk on the beach. I'll get a little stick to put on first.
Put in the hole?
Yeah.
Ew, don't bite me.
How did he find one as big as a bowling ball?
Carefully? Not carefully, I guess. Maybe he tripped
maybe
over
tripped.
It.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah.
I guess double they jinx. Realize shelves could be the size of a bowling
ball. No,
I didn't either. Me neither. He also has a collection of snails that inherently come with many of the shells.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I really like the shell, but there's snail with it. I guess I'm going to take snail home.
What are those things that kids get? They go in
like
the shells?
Like the hermit crabs?
Hermit crabs. My kid wants one of those.
No.
They're great.
No.
She has 3 dogs. She's good.
Yeah, she doesn't need the crab.
Nope.
Well, I think that sums everything up for today.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Well, thank you for having us visit.
Well, thank you for joining us. It was fun.
Thanks for coming and thanks for hanging out with us this summer. We really appreciate all the help you provided around the library with just mail and shelving and just helping us get everything done because summer's crazy busy around here just trying to get everything done.
Well, thank you all for listening to the podcast this month, and we'll see y'all next month.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.